Today's session is brought to you by MediaAngels.com. Visit MediaAngels.com and especially the Information in a Nutshell series consisting of Writing and Publishing and Business Tips and Taxes for Writers. So visit MediaAngels.com, our sponsor today.
This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at MediaAngels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Hi and welcome. My name is Felice Gerwitz and this is an episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms. Well, today I'm going to be talking to you about publishing, and something that is very near and dear to my heart is getting published. So today's episode is Getting Published, Publishing 101. And today we're going to get into some of the nitty-gritty of getting published. So one of the questions I get is, I have a book and I want to find a publisher. How do I do this? Well, I don't want to dash your hopes because it's still very possible to find a publisher for your manuscript. However, one of the ways to do this is to be persistent and follow some of the guidelines I'm going to give you today. And some of you may not want a publisher, so you just want to see your book in print and you want to self-publish. And we're going to go over some of those ways as well today. Well, one of the biggest goals in my life was achieved the day I wrote my first book, and it was not a kid's fiction or the adult fiction novel. Actually, that's an oxymoron. You either call it a fiction or a novel, I learned. I still fall into that. So anyway, it wasn't the adult novel that I dreamed I would write. No, it was a small book called Teaching Science and Having Fun that grew to 156 pages, was selected by Kathy Duffy in her 100 and then 101 top homeschool curriculum picks, and it's still in print today. Initially, it went into print in 1994. So one of the things I'm going to cover with you is something I cover in other sessions when I teach on this topic, and I am a consultant and do help people get published. So here is one of the things that I usually talk about, and I don't want to just jump into how to get your book into print without explaining some of these things you really need to do in order to not waste your time. And so in that vein, I want to talk about what makes a book have staying power. Well, for a curriculum or book on a particular academic topic, it takes having an outline that weathers the test of time. It also takes updates that are a chore, but are a necessary part of staying in the publishing game. That one book I mentioned has been through 5 revisions and updates and is due for another one. So that's just part of staying in the game for as long as I have. Also, in the homeschool market, I will tell you that books and curriculums last much longer than they would traditionally if you were in the market to write a book for the school system or even a college textbook. Those seem to change with every professor as well as with every semester even. So in past episodes, I've covered writing, so I won't go into great detail here other than to review some points that bear repeating. And here are some points to consider when writing curriculum. Is the topic overdone? If so, how is your book better? And also, when I say writing curriculum, it's also for a nonfiction. What is your market? How can your book change or grow to fit in the future? Is your book dated? How can you make your content evergreen, something that will likely be relevant for the near future or years to come? That is, let me just segue here. That is one of the reasons that books on social media and things like that have a very short shelf life. It's a little tongue twister there. Because things in social media change so much and the platforms are changing so much. So those books become very irrelevant very quickly. What is your test market and how do you plan to test the book to see if you need tweaks or changes in the content? And what authority do you have to write this book? Is this a topic of study, something that you have spent many years in doing, or do you have additional resources that may lend itself to give your book a stamp of approval or the notoriety it needs? In our case, I was able to call upon some scientists that were able to give our book a seal of approval by reading the content before it went to print. These are some of the things I considered when I wrote my first book and subsequently the series of study guides and activity packs that were kid tested during vigorous science workshops conducted by both myself and my co-author. In fact, my co-author at the time went around teaching science workshops in different states, and even with a math and science workshop that was being taught around the states. And so a lot of the content in our activity packs were kid tested. So our novels were an offshoot of our research, and those two were read by scientists, so it gave them some validity. So what about those of you that hope to write fiction? What questions should you ask yourself, or perhaps you already have a book? You know, are your characters compelling? Is your plot exciting or at least dramatic enough to keep the reader's attention? What is your setting and how can you incorporate this into the novel to draw the reader in? And has anyone read your finished product? I want to again, segue here really quickly and share that a friend of my daughter's in college had a novel that she wrote, but she wouldn't let anyone read it. And finally, I said to her, that's never going to get into print if you can't trust someone to read it. And she was, you know, afraid to let anybody look at it and critique it. And so that's something that you need to consider, that if you write a book, you need to have someone read the finished product. I am working with a client right now, and she wants to give me the first 7 chapters of a book that she has not completed. So I won't take it unless she has completed the book, because many times as you're writing, you're going to get to chapter 10 or 20 or whatever and then say, oh gosh, I forgot to put this in chapter 2. So if I start going through her manuscript and I content edit, and that is I look at the book and go through what some of the changes and suggestions that I have to make it better, it's going to be have to be redone by me. So make sure your book is finished before you let anybody read it, or if you're just starting out and you have chapter 1, you may want to have someone read it before you get too far into the book. Just midway through is not a good time. All right, what about a memoir? Lately, I have, in the last 3 months, I've had 6 people come up to me wanting me to help them with a memoir. So the question I always have for them is, who would want to read this? What is your audience? Just like anyone else. Is this a tell-all? Are you cloaking real people's names? Do you have permission from those names that you will share? One of the ladies I helped was, you know, a bit on in years. And so many of the people she talked about had, you know, were gone and no longer around, such as her parents and aunts and uncles and so forth. So she felt free to mention their names, but she also didn't go into great detail or anything that was disparaging. This book was very, very uplifting. And even if things didn't happen that well, in her life, she was able to cloak it with a positive spin on it. For example, they lived during the time of the Depression and they had to move back to the farm. And in real life, she really hated living in a on the farm. But in this book that she was her memoir that she wanted to leave to her grandchildren and her children, you know, she did cloak that by sharing the good points about living on a farm. So are you beginning with your childhood? And if so, do you have a good reason why? And if you are beginning at the beginning, keep it brief, but make sure to mention the main points that shaped you. And that's one of the reasons a lot of people start at the very beginning, because they're laying the foundation of the people they are today. Again, if it was not a good situation, I would again cloak that. People will not start reading a book if it is, well, I can't say that. A lot of people read strange things and a lot of people write strange things. But if I was working with someone who was writing a book and going to mention their childhood, I will mention, you know, some things that, like, for example, I had a very rough childhood without getting into specifics. Okay, so who is your market and how do you plan to sell it? You know, all good things to be thinking about. So I gave you some quick guidelines to get that out of the way in terms of writing your manuscript, but the purpose of today's session is really on publishing, getting that book off your computer and into the hands of an eager reader, right? Well, once your book is ready, you need a good layout as well as a striking cover, and I have some recommendations for those in the show notes under Publishing 101, Episode 65 on the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. But before you look at that, you know, you have to make a decision, and that is, are you going to publish or self-publish? Now, there are no shortcuts. In my book on writing and publishing, I go over a list of questions for you to consider, and it's a very short book. It's as if you would be sitting with me for 4 hours, and I would go through some of the steps that I'm just going to briefly touch today. Obviously, we don't have 4 hours in this session. But and I also have some lists under the show notes that you may want to take a look at. But you know, one of the things that you have to have no matter what if you're going to be published or self-published, and that is the industry standard, which is your document in a word processor such as Microsoft Word, or if you're using a Mac, I believe it's Notes or something similar. You need to learn how to write a good query letter if you're going to approach a publisher, and I recommend a book that I owned copies of for many years when I was researching whether or not I wanted to go with a publisher, and I also did many of these steps, which I'm going to share with you today, and that book will become your best friend. The library does have this, and it's called The Writer's Market, and there's normally a year before it, so it would be 2015 Writer's Market for this year, and depending on what kind of genre, they even have them, smaller versions that go into different, you know, groups such as the fiction writer's market and so forth. Again, depending on what book you want to publish, you might want to just get the writer's market and take a look at that and then get some of the other books. Again, our local library has those books, or you can purchase it at someplace like Amazon.com, and I have links for that as well in the show notes. Our very own Carol Topp, who has a show on this network, Dollars and Cents, has an article published in the book, and she wrote Business Tips and Taxes for Writers, which I published under my company, Media Angels. So in this book, you'll find resources you need to get your business to the next step once you start publishing. Even if you are going with a publisher, her book has some great advice in that. But The Writer's Market is a book where you'll find resources to find a publisher specific to the book you want to have put in print. And so if you want to send a query letter to them, you can. That is something you can learn to do. There's a lot of websites that have that information. I have a website, informationinanutshell.com. And it needs a big facelift, so hopefully in the next few months from listening to this audio, it's been given a facelift. But on that website, there's a link to a blog that I blogged on for many years that has over 100 articles that I wrote on the topic, as well as a course. It's a free e-course you can subscribe to where you'll get an email from time to time. And it gives you different hints and encouragement for writing. So if you wanted a partner for writing, someone who is going to encourage you to get the work done, I would recommend that you subscribe to that list. So, okay, so you want to, you know, get your book in print, and you're sitting here going, okay, this is overwhelming. Are there any shortcuts? Yes, that's what I'm sharing with you today, because this is Publishing 101. There are some shortcuts. One is to attend a writing conference. I did this. I attended actually several of them. I have a funny story that goes along with that. I always wanted to write a romance, not a sappy, you know, gooey love story, but something that was, you know, heartfelt and encouraging and uplifting, and, you know, was going to have some impact. So anyway, I attended a writer's conference that was held on Sanibel Island, which is near where I live, And I encouraged my husband to come with me. I am a naturally shy person. The Lord has me outside of my comfort zone. I, you know, do a lot of radio. I podcast. I have given many, many lectures through the years at conferences. I've been keynote, so forth, so on. But I'm really a shy person in real life. So I had my husband go with me, and he said, okay. So he came with me. And you know, of course, once I got there, I was fine. And I can talk to just about anybody about anything when it's, you know, one-to-one. But he came for the first day. And the newspaper was there, the local newspaper reporter, and they immediately beelined to him to get his story on why he wanted to write, you know, romance fiction. And he had to say, no, I'm not interested at all in writing. I'm just here with my wife. But we all got a big kick out of that because, you know, he's basically one of two men in the room. The other was one of the speakers who was writing under a pseudonym, because he did have some of those racy love stories, and so he didn't think that his, you know, being a man on print anyway, he had a pen name, would go over real well. So anyway, attending a conference gives you some ideas, and when I did, I decided I did not want to write romance, not at that point anyway. Some of them can be very expensive, so you need a budget to attend one, but you also will meet people. And I had the opportunity to meet acquisition editors as well as agents that were there. And I was not ready, even though I had two books that I had already completed, to propose my book at that time. But that is some way that you can really shortcut the process. You make an appointment to see an agent or an editor, an acquisitions editor from a publishing house, and this is your best way to get your foot in the door. A lot of times during these events, these people eat meals, you know, they're like us, and so you're able to sit nearby them and maybe not necessarily shove your manuscript in their face while they're eating. That doesn't go over well, but just listen to them, get to know them, so that later you can maybe send them an email and going, oh, it was great, you know, sitting with you at lunch, and I really enjoyed when you shared blah, 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 or whatever. You know, that at least gets your foot in the door, and these people get so many emails, and they normally have someone who is going through their emails for them. So it needs to be something that is going to get their attention and make them remember you in a good way. So again, you know, this is a shortcut. These people are sincere. They're looking for the next great author, and you will need something in place before you do this. So study up. Read the writer's market is one way to do it, and fine-tune your query letter and also what they call your pitch, a 30-second to one-minute elevator pitch that if you were in an elevator going up to the next floor, could you tell what your book was about in a captivating way that would get somebody's attention? And that's important. Okay, so you'll want to fine-tune your search for a publisher as well as look at how your book can fit into the books they publish. For a while, I would receive manuscripts on science fiction or memoirs, and these are neither of those books do I publish. So it was a real waste of the person's money to send it to me, and I was so busy, I really did not have the time to write them back. And say, you know, no, this is not something that I'm willing to publish. So you don't want to waste time doing that. One thing a publisher looks for is your reach. It's impossible to get a publisher, almost impossible, if you're not found on the internet. And so, although I'm going to tell you a story about a lady that I know who was a park ranger who taught from a creationist perspective, and she was given a book contract basically on the merit of her work and her ability to learn and be present online. So when I met her, they were teaching her all kinds of social media skills, and she was one of the presenters that I had on my Creation Expo set that I did for many years. So this is, you know, again, not impossible to get a publisher, but if you have a blog with a million readers, you're going to be able to get a publisher a lot quicker. In fact, people who have that kind of explosive growth or readers are often approached by publishers to write their books and or for them to get their books in print or to even help them and coach them through writing a book. So if you want to learn more about publishing, I'll shamelessly plug my own book, Information in a Nutshell, Writing and Publishing. And it really goes through the nitty-gritty of some of the questions you should ask yourself. I went through some of these in the audio and the steps you should take in deciding which route you want to go if you want to go through self-publishing or, you know, finding a publisher. Well, we're going to talk about self-publishing. Before I do, another book I would recommend to you after you read my book, because this other book might be a little bit overwhelming, and it's called Platform by Michael Hyatt. I highly recommend Michael Hyatt and all of his work. He has a lot of information on his website and has grown his website tremendously. One of the things that gives Michael Hyatt, you know, that claim to fame is that he was an acquisitions editor for a publishing house for many years. And so he really understands how publishing works. He does lean toward getting a publisher. So he would be a great resource for you if you want to find a publisher for your work. Okay, well, let's look at self-publishing, which again is near and dear to my heart. And the first thing I am going to tell you, other than having a great content, is to get a professional cover and interior design. I have links to my recommendations on my site, and I would recommend that you get a couple of quotes. If you plan on having your book available through bookstores, you will need your own ISBN number. I use BowkerLink.com. Again, that's in the show notes under Getting Published, Publishing 101. And one of the sources I use for print on demand is Lightning Source. You have to understand some of the nuances of publishing, but you can easily print one book for distribution or order books in bulk, and they do a really nice job. And if you use their system really well, libraries or even bookstores can order from that, because the distributors also use Lightning Source. A lot of the big companies use that. Another source I recommend to my clients, and this is very recent, it's a big, big change for me, and that is CreateSpace, a company run by Amazon. Now, the reason is CreateSpace is a great place for someone who doesn't want to put a lot of money into publishing. Like on Lightning Source, you have to pay a setup fee to get your book, up. You upload the book and then they check it over and make sure that it is ready for print. In CreateSpace, it's a little bit more hands-on. The dashboard's super easy to use, and I used this for an 80-year-old client of mine recently. And so, she can track all the books that she has sold. I mean, she had the book in print in December, and when we looked at her account in January, she already had sales, and she had no idea who these were from. So that's pretty cool. And she can go online, she can order books, and they are very reasonably priced as far as them printing it and sending them to you. Of course, you pay shipping no matter what. And again, it's run by Amazon, so the dashboard is easy to use. They walk you through the process, and people can order one book or multiple books. Besides which, Amazon gives you a ton of tools you need to get your book quickly. Well, that's it for me today. I have a ton more I would love to share with you, but I have a lot of show notes on my website, and you can check those over. Some software that I recommend. One of the things I'll just quickly tell you that, you know, ebooks are a big thing right now, and Kindle is not the only way to have an ebook. You can turn your book into a PDF on your own computer, and that is an Adobe product. I have a link on my website that goes to Adobe, and one of the cool things they have now is cloud software. One of the softwares I used to use was InDesign, and that is very, very, very expensive. And then you need Photoshop to do the cover, again, another expensive one. Then you need Adobe to be able to make some corrections within the document. Well, it gets ridiculous. So one of the nice things they have, if you're a do-it-yourselfer, is you can rent the software monthly. And so that's what I do, and it really has saved me a lot of money. I don't use that software all the time, but I do work with graphic designers, and when they send me the book in InDesign, I want to be able to access it in that file and make some really quick tweaks and changes. Also, as a mom who homeschools, I've been able to use that software with my children to teach them that software. So it's been a twofold blessing for us to be able to use it in both of those ways. So again, I have some great links for you in the show notes, and I hope you've enjoyed the session. If you would like to contact me, you can contact me either through the MediaAngels.com website or email me at Felice@MediaAngels.com. All right, well, thank you so much, and I just hope the best for you in your publishing endeavor, whether you choose to self-publish or go with a traditional publisher. Thank you for listening to today's episode.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.